Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What's happening in the inner city? Let me tell you, hope is crushed. Let me ask you a personal question. If you had all the power and all the resources, could you make a difference in the lives of those families and primarily single mothers? Could you make a difference there? Could you clean that place up for God and for Christ and for humanity? Could salvation come there in lives and hope? Could you do that with all power and all resources? The answer is yes. Where do you start? You start, first of all, of getting the bad guys out, no questions asked.
The truth is, your God is a God of hope. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Giving Hope to the Hopeless, and explains that when God fills you with joy, peace, and hope, you're able to do more by His power. Stay with us for this encouraging message. But before we get to the message, we want to help you make the very most of your time here on Earth by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. This powerful series explores the book of Ecclesiastes to show you there is purpose and reasoning in everything, especially in how you use your words and your time. We'll send you a copy of Discovering What Really Matters as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Giving Hope to the Hopeless, Part 2.
Then what else? Verse 7. By the way, it says, we glorify God in this. So what do we do? What about the weak? What about those in the inner city? We're to take the weakness of the weak upon ourselves. We're to bear. The word bear there means to get in the womb of. You think that's identifying? You think God is telling us, well, just sort of tip our hats? By the way, we're not talking about angels of light here. We got a little bit of the upper end of the inner city. We didn't get the inner city. Very, very few. Let me tell you that right now up front. No. We're proud we did that. But we just got the upper end of the inner city. We didn't get to the bottom of the inner city where there are thousands and thousands and thousands who really don't have a chance. They're hopeless. Fear, hopelessness, depression, hopelessness. And then next, verse 7, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We were accepted, we are accepted Him. And He goes on to say, Jesus was a servant of the Jews and a servant of the Gentiles. That's verse 8 all the way through verse 12. Now verse 13 says that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing so that, we read it, you will abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you say, how in the world can I accept this? How in the world can I bear the burden of the weak? We can do the only basis of love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. A lot of me there, isn't it? children of that age who sang that song need that heart, don't they, that Jesus loves me. And we build that in our children. Oh, Ed, little Ed, oh my goodness. You're crawling faster than anybody's ever crawled at that age. Oh, and you're walking. Oh, look at him walk. Everybody, oh, look, Ed's walking. How marvelous. Oh, and Ben, you can count to 20. I've never known anybody as young as you be able to count to 20. You're the most brilliant. Oh, way to count to 20. That's magnificent. You're a genius. You're the next eye. Oh, it's amazing. Amazing. Oh, Cliff, you threw that ball. You're only 6 and you threw that ball. Oh, there's nobody ever thrown a ball that far when they were 6 years of age. Oh, it's just great. Man, man, look at my kids. We do that, don't we? Oh, yeah, sure. I hope so. They need that. But it gets kind of bad when we begin to shave and put on some lipstick, and we're not that obvious, but we're still like that, you know, still so narcissistic. I woke up this morning. Did you know? I didn't even think about or care how you look today, but I said, this tie, go this suit. It's all about me. Right now, I'm not worried about what you're going to have for lunch. I'm worried about what I'm going to have for lunch. I don't care what you eat. I got my own stuff here. And that's how tragically we live. And you've got the outer city and the inner city. It's a tale of two cities, the tale of two lifestyles. God has given us instruction and command as to what we are to do. You say, where and where have we been? Oh, in the outer city, there is great hope. Look at all these buildings going up. Look at all, man, look at that. I can't believe it. Boy, in the inner city, the buildings are falling down because there are no buildings. It's just slums and ghetto that moves from here to there to yon. About 30 years ago now, 3 or 4 of the guys in the church took me down to the Toyota Center to see a closed circuit prize fight. I don't remember who was fighting. I don't know whether it was Foreman or Frazier or Ollie or Sugar Ray. I don't know who was there, but boy, we were fired up. We went to this fight, big old screen. I'd never seen anything. Man, it was packed. Man, it was fire. Man, I like it. Oh, goodness. It was so good. So when the fight was over, I was walking down some steps, and I was showing them with my great knowledge of boxing. You know, I had my hands up. We were talking, walking in the crowd, and I was showing them. And so coming up the steps was another man. He was an 18-year-old kid then. I didn't know him, African-Americans, and I looked over there, and he was showing his friends the same thing. So we got down to the bottom. We just never met each other. We just got down, and we laughed, and I was doing like this. He started laughing. He says, who are you? I said, I'm Ed Young. Who are you? I'm James Dixon. And he's an 18-year-old kid who had to be a pastor. His dad was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor, and his father was a pastor. He was beginning a little church there. And so we laughed and talked. I got to know him. And time went by, and he came up to our church at Woodway, and I showed him around, and he started to come up there and park his car at night and just pray in our parking lot, praying that Lord would give him a vision to build a church there in the inner city where he'd been brought up, where he lived, and make a difference for Christ. He'd go there periodically, just park his car by himself, pray. I've kept up with James casually through the years. Now he has the title of bishop. He's got a big church down there in the inner city. I called him and talked with him, and last Friday, I went down there with my good friends Jody Giles and David Dixon, our church, drove us down there. We met with James, and He talked a while, and I told him my burden. I said, we live in two cities. I said, I need to know more about, not like I hadn't been there, I didn't go, and we do things, et cetera, but I said, I really want to know, are there any answers here? What's going on? And he's told me this story. He said, last Saturday, we had some ministry going on down there in one of the toughest areas in anywhere around here. And I'll not identify it purposely so. And they're just miles and miles of slum rooms, apartments, a couple of stories high. He said, we go down there as a church and do ministry and try to help these. Most of these are single mothers, birth mothers with multiple kids, many times don't even know who the fathers were. And he said, we were doing ministry there with them. He said, I was sitting outside kind of steering all of our teams as he went to all these areas. And he said, then here comes the ice cream truck Saturday. And it comes down the street, and there's that music. He said, not a kid came out. He said, I knew there were hundreds and hundreds of kids. It's miles of these slums. And the ice cream truck comes by. Good weather. No kid came out. He said, I sat there wondering what in the world. He said, the ice cream truck went on through. Not a kid came out. He said, I wonder why. Then he said, I realized they didn't have enough money to buy a popsicle. Not one of them. Not this area. And he said, I went and ran down that ice cream truck. I said, come on back. Said the truck came back, said the Hispanic man and his son were in the truck. He said, park right here. I'm going to buy ice cream for any kid that wants any. He said, I sent my guys up there and said, first two or three kids came, four or five kids came, seven, eight kids. He said, son, there's a long line of kids there. He said, but they came out from anywhere from 4 to 5, even up to 16 or 17. He said, they all had their heads down. He said, they came up there to the little gate, the truck, and they'd say, what do you want? And they would point to one of the ice cream, Tutti Frutti, whatever. And he said, then they would look out and say, oh, yeah, and they would order it. And he said, I would pay for it. He said, then I realized everyone came with their head down. And he said, I went over there and said, hold your head up. Hold your head up. Look up there and read what you want and tell the man. And he said, a lot of them couldn't read. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, couldn't read. He said, those that could read, they were hard to hold their head up. And he said, I bought ice cream. And I told him, I said, James, I'm jealous. I wanted to be there. I'd wish I could have been there to buy some ice cream myself. I'm jealous of you. And I said, I want to go there right now. So we left his church, went together, went to the spot. We got there Friday afternoon at the time the buses were arriving. Here, buses coming. I mean, kids coming out of there, all young kids, this stream of buses. I mean, dozens, hundreds, just everywhere, all the way through the slum area. All of them came out there, and they started to scatter and go up. And I noticed there wasn't a single adult there to meet a single one of them. Not an adult. Not an adult. And they run up in those little places. I looked over there, and there's some guys on a rail here hanging over the rail, the second story, and the guy hanging over the rail. And I said, who are those guys? They said, they're Bloods. So how do you know? So they got all red and black. Bloods, gang. And they're sort of supervising, running everything here, charge of everything here. I'm beginning to get it. That'd be very smart to figure that out, do you? Anybody need any explanations? You listening? What's happening in the inner city? Let me tell you. Number one, hope is crushed. When hope is crushed, you'd have different words. Say, well, you know, what we can do about that? Oh, yes. Let me ask you a personal question. Just think for a minute. You have to think hard. If you had all the power and all the resources, now stay with me. I've had longer to think about this and pray about this and cry about this than you have. But if you had all the power and all the resources, could you mark off a square of the inner city? How many blocks, how much, I don't know. And if you had power and all the power, all the resources, could you make a difference in the lives of those families and primarily single mothers? Could you make a difference there? Could you clean that place up for God and for Christ and for humanity? Could salvation come there in lives and hope? Could you do that with all power and all resources? The answer, by the way, is yes. The answer is yes. Where do you start? You start, first of all, of getting the bad guys out, no questions asked. Now, that's not an easy thing. You say, well, you can't do that. Just sit back. Get the bad guys out. Well, I have my rights. No, you don't. Everybody there knows who they are. No, get them out. Get them out. Number two, find the champions that are in that area. There's a few champions down there that are frightened and beat up. Find those champions and tell them this is now a safe place. Okay? Then you bring all the king's horses and all the king's men and see who really cares, who really loves, and who really wants to be a part of the healing. I'm talking about the lines of corporation and businesses. I'm talking about all the politicians who talk the game and play the game and exploit people. I'm talking about the nonprofits. I'm talking about the churches. I'm talking about the hospitals. I'm talking about every entity, the educational system, and go in and rehab and train and build and see those who can be getting off drugs. Those who can't, we send them to some of these military bases that are basically empty, and we provide to them and give them another chance. Otherwise, we get them off drugs. We love them. We train them. When I was in high school, we had vocational training. We had shop. You learn how to be a carpenter. You learn how to pour asphalt. You learn how to build something, to make something, to weld. That's gone today. Go in there. Train these who are salvageable. Love those who are lovable. Provide protection for those kids. The kids don't go out and play around there because they're in danger. Did you read the statistics that are there on the wall? Those aren't just numbers. They're human beings, God's precious gift to us. Say, well, you didn't mention, I don't have all the answers. I see the problem. I see some beginning ways to move. And I see where the cooperative effort to get the bad guys out, to find the heroes and champions that are there within, and to turn loose God's people, to turn loose God's people as mentors, as counselors, as helpers in safe places to enforce those schools and to get in. Well, the problem is resources. No, resources is the least of our problems. The talent, the resources are there in your life, in my life. Hope has been crushed. Here are the hope crushers. Ignorance, illegitimacy, immorality, sexually transmitted disease, drug dealers, pimps, power brokers. You name it, it is all there. Get the bad out. Give hope to those champions who are there to lead in the community and go in with love and grace and means and force and begin to give those children who's basically a fatherlessness. Fatherlessness, that's it. If someone is a single parent around here, there are plenty of surrogate fathers who will step up in school and other places, but that's not true there. How desperate is it? I know of a case where there was a child struggling in school in the inner city. The teacher said, maybe this child needs special aid, but we're going to try to work with her, and maybe she can stay in the main classes, not go on the special aid. And the mother said, oh, no, I think she needs special aid. And the teacher said, well, we're going to test her Monday, but I think she'll be able to make it. But all weekend, that mother took that little girl and shook her head, shook her head, shook her head, shook her head. She took the test on Monday. She was special ed. Why did the mother do that? She would get no money because the child was now classified as special ed. Oh, that's the worst thing. Let me tell you something. Where there's desperation and poverty and despair and hopelessness, by God's grace, this family, be patient, be prayerful. We're going to throw everything we got to make a difference for Jesus Christ in the inner city of this part of the world. Amen. You say, well, I don't know if I want to. Let me tell you something. Your ice cream's melting. We can go through there and do 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 do. Oh, here's some clothes, here's some food, here's me up. Do 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 do. Bye. Do 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 do. Oh, I feel so good. Let me tell you what I did. I really gave our help. That's all good and fine. That's a band-aid, folks. We got to go in there and deal with the cancer and cut it out so there can be health. I don't know how to do it. Don't think there's any prideful thing here. There's only brokenness here.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:27. Did you notice the first word in today's verse? It's the word only. It means this one thing you do. This is the most important thing. This is what the Christian life is all about. The word only has an exclusivity about it. It means we don't have a lot of options. We don't say that God's word isn't clear and direct. Do you want to know how to live each day? You really want to know? In light of your commitment to Christ, this and this only is how you live. Wouldn't it be magnificent if that word only would blink on and off in our Bibles? Only, only, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Jesus.
And we hope today's message has encouraged you. We'd love to strengthen your walk with the proven truth that there is deep purpose and reasoning in everything you do by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. Your life matters, and Scripture teaches that what really matters most of all is how we sow the love of Christ through our time and our words. This four-part series will equip you to listen, hear, and respond to God's calling for you to speak and use your time to be a reflection to those around you of who Christ is. So call now to request your copy of Discovering What Really Matters as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today for The Winning Walk. Come back next week as Dr. Young shows you how God can use your weaknesses in a powerful way to point others to Jesus. Have a wonderful weekend.